Hey there, Pounders. This is J.R. Wilco with this week's Unnecessary Foolishness. It's episode 22 of the Superfluous Poppycock Podcast. My good buddy Seth Warren is here with me, and we're going to discuss...
Jonathan Simmons!
And Friends, really. At all, yeah. If you will.
Pretty much everybody. I mean, pretty much every... albeit maybe a little bit less David Lee, but pretty much... I don't think there's really one guy we can't discuss with glee and giddiness and giggling.
Man. Well, no, we could discuss Pau Gasol without too much giddiness.
I got a long leash on Pau. Pau is he's got a long leash on Pau. Maybe that's not the right way to say it.
I'm writing that down.
I'm okay with him developing into this, but my gosh, did you see this coming?
Well, no, I did not. In fact, I will tell you, I'm going to just lead off with this. There's one thing that San Antonio and Golden State fans can agree on after opening night, after that game in San Francisco, in Oakland, soon to be San Francisco for that team, and that is that it was just one game. But that's the only thing that they can agree on. But no, I didn't see this coming. Earlier in the day, before the game, just kind of reviewing everything, looking at the roster and all, and I just had this feeling just kind of come over me out of nowhere. I was like, "What if they're no good this year? What if without Tim? What if it's just Kawhi and LaMarcus, and everybody else is too old or too young?" And right. oh no, it was just like this black cloud hovered over me for a minute there, and then the first quarter started, and I was like, well, this is kind of fun, and then it just kept on, they just kept on coming, and every time San Francisco, or that's hilarious, why aren't they San Francisco in my head? Anyway, every time Golden State would make a run, every time Seth Curry would score like 8 points in 48 seconds or whatever, it was just like, you know what, Kawhi would come out and score 8 points in 55 seconds. It just constantly keeping them at arm's length, and it was good defense. It wasn't phenomenal defense, because you know the Warriors still would get their open shots every now and again. They just couldn't can any, and they could not stop the Spurs.
No, I mean it was surprising to see their defensive failures and our defensive progressions as a team.
Yeah.
We know Kawhi is good. We know that, there's flashes of greatness all around. Now, granted, I'll preface this by saying what you said. It's one game. The sample size is small, yada, yada, yada. Let me be honest to everybody and say, I truly, as a diehard Spurs fan, I didn't have high hopes for this game. JR, I don't know if you did, but no. I mean, this game's at Oracle. There's tons of spotlight, which those guys just love, crave, and need. I just anticipated we were going to kind of approach this game. You know what it is? What it is? Let's go out and play. We got a long way to go and to settle into our new lineup. We looked 3 months into the season. I mean, we really looked a lot more developed than I expected, and I was surprised because the team defense, even after one game. It was pretty jarring to me to see how well we rotated, how well we played as a team on D.
I have to agree, and while I led off with saying that it was just a single game, it doesn't mean anything more in the standings than a game.
Sure.
But the repercussions of this game for the fans, for sure, are just incredible. I mean, you've got the first game since November 1st, 1996, that the Spurs didn't have Tim Duncan in it. First
right.
opening game in 19 years, 11 months, and 22 days, that you don't have Tim Duncan starting in an opening opening night for the Spurs. And you just assume that there's going to be this gulf, this gap, this yawning chasm, right? I came
this rust.
One of the well, you talk about rust, but Pop is 18-2 in opening, on opening night for the Spurs. So rust Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
But again, going back to your point, that 18-2 is that's a lot of that. You got a guy named Timothy Duncan on the floor.
Sure.
So I'm not discounting the 18-2.
You don't have Duncan, right? And there was not even a beat skipped. There wasn't even, you know, there wasn't even a little bit of hyperventilating. It was just an absolute confident strut is what it was. Did you see Kawhi taking Iguodala on at the end of that shot clock when he was one-on-one? He had his arms all the way out on either side and just raised up, got him moving backwards, raised up with all the room that he needed in the world to just can that jumper. And it was just this really just such a confident, absolutely calm experience watching them just score over and over and over and never have an issue for more than 3 or 4 minutes where they had issues scoring. When last year it was just like, God, that was the thing. It was like, great defense, absolutely historic defense, but you can't put the ball in the bucket. And it was just so much fun to watch them put up 129 points.
Well, and I the word I kept, you know, just rolling around in my head, I couldn't get out, was poise.
Yeah.
Which speaks to what you just said. They seemed so poised and
that.
Ready. I mean, there was just, yeah, we got a new team. We got a lot of good pieces. Our anchor in Duncan is gone. But we're here to play. We're here to play ball, and we know what we're doing. And Kawhi, you know, it's as much as a system player as the kid is, I have to say he improved just a little tiny bit the offseason. The way that he's penetrating, the way that he's drawing. Now, granted, there's two sides to that coin, and I'm joking, by the way, if you didn't catch my sarcasm.
Yeah, I got it.
Just the absolute aggression in getting to the hole is on a different level than even it was last year, to mention the fact that Tim Duncan's got to be rolling over in his grave, because I saw Kawhi get whistles last night, draw buckets, and there was word out of the Express News today that he's been working on that specifically. He's been watching film specifically to work on drawing superstar calls that all these other guys are getting. I tell you what,
that's
the missing piece.
This is what I wanted to talk about. I mean, yes, the rebounding edge from the Spurs astounded me. Right, second chance points too. Right, the steals, God, the steals were eye popping. The fact that Golden State couldn't get their offense going was huge, whether they were missed outside shots or not. I mean, they couldn't get going. That was massive, right? And Jonathan Simmons was essentially levitating, yeah? But above all of that, Kawhi got superstar calls. He was aggressive, and they rewarded him with trips to the line. He had Andre Iguodala's elbow out there, and he's like, fine, it's on my chin. I will drive into that elbow with my chin. And it was just like, goodness, there were a few times when he decided to force the issue, and the ref seemed to say, well, he would have had a path to the bucket if he hadn't been fouled, and they blew the whistle.
Right.
And last year, in the same situations, there was silence. And that's the biggest revelation to me from opening night. I mean, Kawhi has stepped into his own.
You're right. You're 100% right. If you're in the West and you're on another team and you're watching that game, you've got to go, oh, fart. Kawhi's getting superstar calls now.
Yeah.
We're done. Because that's the main missing piece that the guy was lacking, was not getting that justification from the rest of the league. Not to mention, it's not like that's all he added.
He's got that drift through the lane from left to right where he comes up, and that's one of my favorite shots in basketball. It's one of the few things that I can do fairly well, where guys keep on thinking I'm going to drive into the bucket. I just keep on floating out and kiss it way off the – I mean, it's just – You know, I mean, my dad shot that shot. I watched him. I love shooting that shot. Seeing him drop that in and not even use the backboard, though. He shoots it straight into the basket, and he does that. I don't do that. That's just so hard to do, and he just makes it look easy. He makes so much of it look easy.
Well, one game or not, this was main stage, and this was a high-profile enough game. I saw several things. I mean, I'm texting back and forth with a buddy of mine, and you know, the scary thing is Golden State didn't lose at home last year until April.
Yeah.
Let me repeat that. They didn't lose at Oracle last year until April. in theory, at least on paper, they got better. Heck, they added a guy named Kevin Durant. And we beat them game one. Now, granted, there's a lot of room. They've got to do a lot of things, and they look completely discombobulated. I trust Kerr, one of the few coaches that I would trust to fix that, to get it all worked out. I mean,
you're going to trust Kerr to combobulate them?
To combobulate them, yes. Okay. To undiscombobulate them, rather. Obviously that tale has not been written. That book's still in progress in Golden State, but it was an important statement, and it was a very, very just absolute. I mean, almost. I don't even know how to describe it. For us to go out and to beat them by 30 at home without our mainstay in Duncan. I mean, texting this buddy of mine, I'm going, you know, you look at this game last night. Not only did we do that, Powell didn't have a good game.
No.
David Lee did not have a good game. Manu mm-hmm. did not have a great game. I mean, he had a couple of high-profile shots that stood out, but he wasn't extremely active. By the way, there was no Danny Green there on the floor tonight.
Yeah.
And then you add in, you know, what you would expect is jitters and rust and just kind of that hype from being in such a loud environment. I mean, we're going to have off nights, no doubt about it, but if that is our first game, I'll take it.
No doubt. No doubt at all. And there's so much room for Lee and Powell to get better. But at this point, even if they don't, right?
Yeah.
And you've got to take a look at that. Even if Jonathan Simmons on a regular basis can only bring half of what he had on opening night, I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That Simmons, Ginobili, Aldridge, Mills, and Kawhi lineup is strong, my friend. That's a strong
group. I'll tell you what. I don't think it's presumptuous. I don't think it's hyperbole at all. But I will tell you right now, I just don't – let me preface this also by saying Jonathan Simmons, 20 points in just 28 minutes. He had a 33 plus minus. I mean, it was absolutely a revelation for him to come out and do that. Game one, the jitters. Hey, I was in D-League a week ago, and I paid $150 bucks to be on the Spurs. All of this stuff, all of these stories going around. The kid went into Golden State plus Kevin Durant and put up 20. And this is not a situation where, you know, it's not like a Dak Prescott or a Trevor Siemian situation in the NFL where they look great for the first 3-4 weeks. Why? Because there's no film whatsoever. Then after 4-5 weeks, they kind of level out a little bit.
Yeah.
Simmons has got film. People know what they're expecting with Simmons, and they still couldn't stop him. His defense was great. His offense. Yeah. I will go so far as to say right here, you need to pencil him in on the short ballot right now for Sixth Man of the Year.
Wow. Well, I'd like to see more than one game from that. I'd like to see him make sure that he's not foul happy, that he's not turnover happy.
You're right.
Right. His two issues from last year. But if he can stay on the floor, he's not fouling guys all the time, he can take care of the ball, then that's pretty much it, because the guy can shoot.
Hey,
he definitely has the moves.
Golden State's a defensive team. He had two fouls and zero turnovers in 28 minutes.
Well, let's talk about Golden State as a defensive team, first of all, right? I mean, they're going to miss Bogut and Azili. Those guys that they lost.
Absolutely.
That is not just a shrug of a shoulders. That they do not have the interior defense that they had before. Kevin Durant is fantastic. He's even a pretty good – well, he's a great defender as well.
Yes.
But he's not necessarily a rim protector, and he can be juked. And so you have to have somebody back there to help out. And on Tuesday night, there was nobody back there to help out, and you had guys just going to the rim.
Right.
But I have to stop. I have to have a geek-out moment about Kawhi Leonard and that steal that he had on Curry.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Okay, first of all, that sequence was just phenomenal. I loved the entire sequence. I loved him getting in there and getting the score beforehand. I loved him being ready to stop Curry from just bringing the ball up the court unmolested. Kawhi is pivoting and turning while moving backwards, rotating towards Curry as Curry's bringing up the ball and coming around one of his own men, and while moving backwards, while pivoting, while not guarding anything, just somewhat close to Curry, just reaches out and smacks at the ball, knocks it off of Curry's knee, grabs it, and Curry just goes to the floor, just tumbles to the floor, trying to keep his feet underneath him as he to change direction.
Shocking that he didn't get a foul call, by the way, knowing Steph Curry. But
well, you know, he also didn't get a foul when Jonathan Simmons came out of nowhere to pull on LeBron James and sky and slam his and just pin his layup up against the backboard. Did you see the way that he set up his steps before he jumped?
Yeah.
He took this big old, he was running. He goes, oh, I've got enough speed now. Let me time my steps now because I know where he's going to be. He took a big old step and
stutter
then just
step.
One. It, well, no, yep. He didn't take a stutter step. He took a big old long step and then went 1-2 and jumped into that. And Curry never, ever knew he was there. That was far more impressive than those two threes that he had at the end of those quarters to end. To end that, right?
What about the dunk? The exclamation mark dunk over JaVale.
What I loved about that was the fact that there was no doubt what he was doing.
He
took the ball.
It.
He was dribbling, and it was like, wait, I can already tell from his body language that he's going to try and go by him and stuff them. Is this a good idea? I don't know if he. Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, look at that, and then he just. Oh my goodness, was so high. Such a demonstrative slam. He didn't pose like he used to when he actually slammed,
but
he stood there.
He looked at the bench.
He did stand there for just a second.
The bench was going nuts. It was gorgeous. Well,
it wasn't just the bench going nuts. Kawhi jumped off the bench, stood up, was like whooping and clapping and smiling after that. Yeah.
Now, you know, as much as I hate to say I told you so, but who was it that told you to be aware of Jonathan Simmons, that he was coming and that he had skills?
It was you.
It was you. Granted, it's a
Warren,
one game sample size. I get that. And a lot of you are laughing, going, let's give it more than 48 minutes here. I get that, but... You see the flashes I'm talking about. You see the absolute superstardom that this kid could potentially...
The flashes. The flashes of superstardom, yes.
Yeah, I feel good. And if he's doing even remotely near, like you said, what he did the other night, I'm pretty confident in this year. I think I texted you during the game, too, and said, kind of funny, it may not be a rebuilding year, huh?
Yeah, you said that to me. And it's just I what I love about that lineup that I mentioned before, Patty Mills, Monta Ginobili, Jonathan Simmons, Kawhi Leonard, and LaMarcus Aldridge is just how mobile they are, how quick those hands are, and how into those passing lanes they were capable of being. Mills, those steals, right? Mm-hmm. Manu's always reading guys' eyes and stepping in before the pass is there. Simmons got in there and slid in and broke some things up as well. You know Kawhi does that all the time. And, man, I'm excited about watching this team. I was going to be excited anyway, but...
Right.
But the fact that they played so well together and got to garbage time the way they did, and I mean it's so much fun. I'm going to talk about garbage time in a minute, but I mean talk to me about what you saw from the defense.
You know, Kawhi is Kawhi. There's nothing to say there. He
there's everything to say there is what you
mean.
Well,
I mean, nothing beyond what we... He had five steals last night.
I
mean, it's against a quick, young team like that. Forget the 15 of 15 from the line. Help me, Rhonda. His defense is absolutely... I mean, it's so easy to fall in love with this kid every single time you watch him because his game is so perfect in so many ways, so well-rounded in so many ways. But I tell you, it wasn't even Kawhi because, you know, when I'm watching the game, I'm looking past Kawhi and I'm going, well, that Aldridge, I don't know about him. Well, Powell, you know. The one guy that really jumped out to me, and aside from Simmons and all that he provided, Kyle Anderson looked great.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't fill things up. He shot and made one
three. He played within himself.
He played within himself. He managed the game. He carried the game. He didn't do anything stupid. No turnovers. One foul. You know, he was listed at a minus four and plus minus, which again is part of. Sometimes I love plus minus when it has Jonathan Simmons at 33 and Patty Mills at 35 leading the Spurs. I get that. I agree with that. I don't quite like or agree with the minus four because it doesn't take into account some of the intangibles. But that was Kyle last night. His intangibles, his rotations, cutting off passing lanes.
Did you notice that he didn't look so slow?
Right.
I mean, he's obviously been working on his core. He's obviously been working on getting lighter and working out on his agility. I'm not saying that he looked fast, but he did not look.
He's not Usain Bolt, but he's not slow-mo anymore. I'm good with replacing. Well, I don't want to say I'm good because I love the man personally, but I think there was a lot of talk once we shipped Boris out of, ooh, well, that's going to hurt. It's a glue guy. I don't know if Kyle's ready. I think Kyle's ready. After seeing it last night, I'm very, very confident having Kyle in there running that position. Even though we moved him over and put him kind of in a guard position last night, I was pleasantly surprised with how he filled in for Danny, and that was another kind of positive for me. We're looking at this, going, yeah, we beat him by 30 at Oracle, and it's the super team. But Powell virtually, he didn't really show up. There was no Danny Green there. I mean, it's all of these things. We've still got room to improve, guys. There's so much room we can go. We did make a lot of, even though I was surprised that we only committed 13 turnovers in. Was it 13? Yeah, 13 turnovers in the win. Generally, I kind of expect us coming off rodeo road trip or us coming, first game, any kind of high jitter situation. I expect us to have a little bit more. So I was pleased that we took care of the ball, but we did make a lot of a lot of ill-advised or dumb turnovers. Not a lot of accidental turnovers, but a lot of, bad pass-type turnovers or,
Getting used to each other. Yeah.
And that's all that was. So that'll clean up quite a bit. I'm very confident in that. Deadman's going to be well-known for getting blocked by the rim during that game, but I was pleased with Deadman. His energy.
No, great energy.
Yeah, yes. I was really pleased. He had a plus 29. So I was very pleased with what I saw at a Deadman. David Lee, not so much. I think he's got a ways to go. I'll tell you this. I'll give this to you when I attempted to be somewhat arrogant earlier and take credit for Simmons. Bravo to you, sir, on your Latvian map honor.
Oh, because my goodness. Let me jump in here.
Yeah, you take this because I was blown away and I fell in love last night.
This is the national audience's introduction to the redheaded Latvian here.
And, redheaded one. Yes.
And I gotta say it was I like Kevin Harlan. I'm not crazy about Reggie Miller. Let's just say it. I just don't like a lot of what he says. I think it's just filler. I don't think there's anything to it. I loved the way he talked as a player. I thought he was entertaining. I thought he talked about things that other players wouldn't, and that interested me as a fan. But as a broadcast guy, I'm not crazy about him at best. But they were talking about, the game, just filler stuff while garbage time was going on. And Bertans comes out, gets the ball at the top of the key, drills a two. Golden State comes back. They miss a shot. It comes to Bertans again, and the ball goes in. The ball comes out. He's well beyond the three-point line. Immediately raises up, nails a three. No hesitation, no anything. No. Just boom, boom. Both of them pure. Both of them nothing but net. And Harlan and Miller just start laughing.
Yeah, I caught that.
And there was so much subtext to the laugh. Right?
Yeah, like there was a story off the air, and I want to hear your perspective.
I don't
think
there was a story off the air. I think it was in the context of what they expected. Right, you've got this situation where you expect the Warriors to absolutely blow the Spurs away. You expect the Warriors to play well together, to really gel, to show what they're going to be, and the Spurs absolutely lay waste. So here we come, garbage time. There's got to be something to talk about where we can talk about something good about the Warriors.
and you've got this guy you've never heard of before, besides the guy that already went off and Jonathan Simmons that you've never heard of before, and you got this guy from Latvia.
So
right?
you're
he's
going to
be this tall, skinny, like gawky, geeky guy who's just stroking purely 5 points in like 20 seconds or whatever it was, and they're just laughing like, this is so Spurs. This is
so, that's what
so
you're
Popovich.
Saying. You're saying it was more of a, well, Spurs got a spur kind of laugh.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought it was.
I thought
it was them. I thought it was them laughing going, what do you say? They've got a guy that can't. Here was the thing for me. Here's what I eventually, when I listened to it again, I was like, they're sitting there almost geeking out. I'm geeking out. They're almost chuckling at the fact that, like, this is a guy that can't even get regular minutes because of everybody in front of him. And look what he does as soon as he touches the ball.
Yeah. No, I can. I guess I can see that. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. It makes me a lot happier than just the blind rage I felt when they were mocking him, which initially I was doing too. But then I saw, you know, that he was wearing a Spurs jersey and I saw him hit a shot so effortlessly and instantaneously I became a redheaded ally.
Well, this is what happened last year with Boban, right? They would look at him, they're like, look at this big guy.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, look at that dunk. Wow. Woo, okay, well look at this guy. Well, look, he just drilled a 12-footer. He can shoot too? And that was that whole thing where people were getting, like, they weren't going to chuckle at the guy in garbage time anymore. They're like, this guy's going to be good in next year or two or something, and wow, I mean, like, he's a little funky looking, but watch him play. And that's what I heard underneath the chuckles and the giggles and the laughter between Harlan and Miller last night.
Good. Well, I'll take that. That sounds a little bit better and a little bit less offensive. But he was extraordinarily impressive. I mean, we didn't see anything out of your boy Bryn Forbes. But I feel that same fire, that same little spark feel that I felt about Jonathan Simmons. So I think we're going to be very pleased with Forbes. I think we're going to be really pleased with Bertans. And I actually believe, you know, you and I always joke about CIA pop and about how everything has 14 different layers of devious manipulation to it. At the very least. And I'm sure Pop hears that and just kind of rolls his eyes and goes, really? The guy was the first one out of locker room dressed, so I played.
So I put him in the starting lineup, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I was doing, but I almost believe that Bertans is one of those rope-a-dopes, that Bertans is going to be a real rope-a-dope versus Golden State in the future, and especially if we meet these guys in the playoffs, because I don't think they anticipate us having yet another tall guy, but especially one that can go that far out to shoot and that's got moves. I mean, he is a Matt Bonner in a lot of ways, except he can move laterally, which gives him a very sizable advantage. He can take 3-4 steps to the left or to the right at a pretty frenetic pace. So that gives him the ability to penetrate in ways that Bonner never could.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's only one Coach B. Right, there's only one Red Mamba, but for crying out loud, I don't need a Red Mamba anymore if I've got, you know, the Latvian
Davies.
Redhead.
Davies. One game, and I'm quickly forgetting about Bonner, even though he only had 5 on 2 shots. But it was impressive. I was so pleased with Bertans. And then finally, the other guy who I was, and not that we haven't seen it before, but we usually, this guy's pattern, we usually have to see him develop into this and really just kind of pick up speed and pick up steam. He's at his prime in playoffs, most specifically 2014, at his absolute prime, and in 2013 as well. But in game one, to see this level of dare I say, dominance, the Aussie spark plug.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. I'm good with him coming off the bench. I'm good with him, you know, leading the second unit.
No doubt.
My goodness.
Looked so fast, so strong, so decisive. Shit. It wasn't just like he was out there running around, which sometimes it looks like that's what Patty's doing, but he was out there with a purpose. It's almost like it's one of those situations where the game's starting to slow down for him, and he's running to where things are about to happen. How many times was he just suddenly there right before a Warriors pass could make it to its intended target?
And right. And it was just – it was so much fun. So much fun to watch him, you know, maneuver around. Four steals from Mills.
Yeah, just behind Kawhi's five. And it was – you know, it's one of those things. I know a lot of guys – Pop has called, you know, Bryn Forbes the poor man, Steph Curry. And Steph Curry's one of those guys that's somewhat easy to make that analogy with because – you know, I don't want to go deep into Steph Curry, but I'm still not extraordinarily impressed with his chucking game. But Patty Mills gives you that instant offense that someone like a Curry does. You know, you could bring a guy like Curry in the game. We saw it a little bit last night. That's one reason, you know, even though we're up 18-16, you still don't feel a complete piece because, you know, this Golden State team is a team that can rattle off points in a hurry, especially just even Curry. Patty Mills gives us that same option of a guy that, to a lesser degree, obviously, but that can come in and generate such offense. I mean, I know one question from you and I last week's podcast, we talked about where are you getting your spark? Where are you getting your offense out of that second unit? Well, I got between Patty Mills and Jonathan Simmons alone 31 points just last night versus the Golden State Warriors, or excuse me, Tuesday night.
Yeah, and that's what was...
So it's I think we're good.
Yeah, that was what was... I just really enjoyed watching Patty out there, and I never once felt... Guys, he's had five assists, man. You know, with zero turnovers. And we haven't even talked about Tony Parker yet, who had a solid game. He was 4 for 9.
He did.
He had four.
He looked
he
about
had four
5 years
assists
younger.
He,
yeah, he did.
There were a couple of times. Younger. Yeah, it were a couple of times where he just absolutely took control of a possession that was on its way into nothing and pulled the rabbit out of the hat.
Now, granted, game one against Zaza Pachulia guarding the paint. You can look like circa 2003 Tony Parker. I get that. So I want to see more on Tony before. You know, it looks a lot different without Bogut standing in the paint if you're Parker and you're trying to penetrate. So I'd like to see a little bit more out of Parker. I'm kind of holding back on Parker. But everybody else, and like I said at the beginning, I'm not even worried about Powell. Having a seven-footer that can stretch and pull out like that, you know, LaMarcus hitting a three last night. Good grief. It stretches our floor to such a degree that I am totally fine with everybody in the country talking about Golden State or maybe even Cleveland. You know, let's talk about the Clippers a little bit. Ignore the Spurs because you know what? We are boring. We are excruciatingly boring. There's nothing going on. Everybody on that team's a system guy. They're just
got a problem. Got a problem with that boring. If Kawhi keeps this up,
yeah, it's going to be hard for us to maintain that, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. It is, especially if they're able to have their offense run like that. And they're not going to make 48% from the field every night. They're not going to hit half of their three-pointers every night. But there's a lot of things that they did in the opener that they can do every night. And that's why...
Against lesser teams.
Exactly. Against lesser teams. And it's just like Michael Erler wrote in his Spurs Eye view of the Spurs was that Popovich pretty much has the regular season on replay. Yeah. He knows the way to, he knows the formula, he knows how to put things together, and the team is going to get their regular season wins.
Right.
And it also means the team's going to be able to be rested. Because if you're not worried about wins at the end of the season, then you get to rest guys too. And the question is, how are they going to get those wins? How impressive are they going to be? We know the Warriors aren't going to start off with a winning streak, and we know that Pop doesn't like them either because they're so distracting. So he takes matters into his own hands to make sure that. You know, that they don't have some big, huge number hanging over their head that everybody wants to talk about for too long. So,
well, I can tell you, I think Pop is going to struggle this year with that mindset. Because if I'd have told you that, you know, even after that first game, we got rid of Tim Duncan. We really didn't add anything else. We got rid of Tim Duncan and we replaced him with a guy that last night was fairly ineffective, had 2 points. Timmy would have had more than 2 points. And we went into Golden State and it was a 30-point game. I could have told you how that would have gone. Dare we say we got better this offseason when everybody was focused on Golden State and we got rid of Tim Duncan? did we also simultaneously get better? Now, I'm not saying by getting rid of Tim we got better, because I do think a funny point of conversation before we end this podcast is to talk about what Timmy was feeling on the couch last night watching the game. But did we get better this summer?
Goodness, you could make the case for it, because and honestly, if we weren't in a position to get better without Tim, he wouldn't have left.
Right.
Right? Because the one thing he always said was he would stick around as long as he felt like he was contributing.
Well, and that's what made me so happy about this game last night, because, you know, at a point I had the realization that this has got to be extremely difficult to watch if you're Tim Duncan. And it was early on in the game, and I thought, obviously, for clear and apparent reasons, you're going to think this is going to be difficult for him to watch the game, and just that yearning and to think, oh, man, I miss it. Man, I want to go back. Man, I need to go back. And to see various points within a game like this and to go, I could have done this. I could have helped him in this way. I could do that. I need to get back out there. At the end of this game, I thought, it couldn't have been better for him. Sitting somewhere and eating popcorn and drinking some straight rum, because that's what I've concluded Tim Duncan drinks. It's just straight rum. He's got to think, this is good. I mean,
he's thinking good for them.
Yes, I've sent my kid off to school. Not only that, I dropped him off at Harvard. He's got all his stuff taken care of. He's in a good place.
All his books. There you go.
I mean, everything.
Nice roommate.
Everything. Yes, everything's set up. I think he feels like he's passed the baton. He's done it at a good time. At least I would if I was in his shoes. But I was glad that at least it appears that way from last night. There are going to be moments during the year in which we just crave Timmy back and for what he brings specifically on the court, not just for the icon that he is, but you know, that being our first foray in the post Tim Duncan era, if anything, has got to give him some peace of mind as well.
Absolutely. And I was watching I tuned into a preseason game in the middle of the first quarter. And it wasn't the final preseason game. It was the second to last preseason game. And I'm like, okay, all right. So, all right, who we got on the floor now? Okay, so all right, we got LaMarcus is already gone, and okay, well, there's Dedmon out there. That means that Tim's on the bench, and so, no. And so I just had that moment where I was like, how many times am I going to be thinking? Okay, let me see who's out there. Okay, well, I wonder how much longer before Tim makes it. The same way that I was in that season and a half when Manu in 2008 and 2009 had his ankle issues, and every time I thought, all right, it's a Manu moment. We need a big bucket. Oh, that's right.
Right.
He's hurt. And it's just like that. It's that sense of loss, right? I didn't feel that once on Tuesday night. Not once. Yep. And it was so weird that I got that out of my system in the preseason, and it really makes me feel like he was able to watch the game and go, good for them,
and have peace and feel peace in kind of a post-retirement kind of era. I tell you what, though, I think we ought to anticipate Timmy making an appearance at practice this week.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I think so.
If anything, Dwayne Dedmon needs some help on how to avoid jumping underneath the rim and getting blocked by the iron itself.
Stop it! It's his first game in silver and black. Give him a little. If you're going to give Powell some rope, give my boy Dedmon some rope. All right.
Well, I think Powell Gasol has earned a little bit of rope. I'm nervous to give Dedmon too much rope as to what he might do with it. But I think Timmy might be a good one to teach him how to just flick it in. You don't have to jump no reason to jump. And if you jump, make sure you clear the rim, please.
How about this? Every time the Spurs went, what seemed like every time, I think there was one time that the Marcus went too quick, that they didn't, but it seemed like every time they weren't able to get that real quick put back, got the ball at the basket, they just went up, that they were able to get the rebound and still scored. That was huge to me. I love that.
Well, and that's huge more, I think, for Golden State. I'll tell you that, because Draymond can stand up on the podium in his little cranberry blazer and spout off these platitudes about, well, it's one game. You're right, Draymond. But there's a lot in that one game that I would be scared out of my mind if I was a Warriors fan. I mean, you guys
They've got all the talent in the world, I don't know that's the point. I don't think that they're a team yet. And I wonder at whether they'll be able to be a team with this roster.
No, we're missing. You're missing what I'm saying. You can't teach tall. If any of those guys are going to sprout to 7'3", then our problem's solved. But those guys are not rebounders. That's the problem. Well, I mean, they make them gel as a team. But yeah. they're going to gel so that they can throw fast breaks and go cherry pick you and, you know, grab that defensive board. But if you've got such negligible size over that team, like the Spurs do specifically, the Clippers are going to eat Golden State alive. Mark my words. Well, with the rebounding squad that they have.
Yeah. Whew, lack of rebounding, more like. But no, what I mean when I say are they a team, I'm talking about the way that the roster is put together. They've got a ton of talent, but do they have the role players in those areas where you need to not have a star, right? And that's they've got a luxury, and Kevin Harlan brought this up, they've got the luxury to have two all-stars, to have two all-NBA guys on the floor at all times. But do they have the luxury of having someone who can keep the parade through the lane to the rim from turning into a horse race?
There's just been so much of this talk about, well, what are you going to do when the Warriors force you small? What are you going to do? We saw last night. What are you going to do with any other team forcing them big? What are you going to do, Golden State? Uh-huh. Because I tell you what, when they're forced big, they look terrible last night.
With those bigs, they do. Yeah, Zaza Pachulia is not an answer to any question that I want to be asking a team.
No. Although he did come out, I believe it was Wednesday, and said that they are willing, he and David West both are willing to do whatever possible. This may be more superfluous poppycock now that I think about it, but they're willing to do whatever possible. They're going to protect their guys and just kind of, it wasn't even tongue-in-cheek. It was just an outright implication on thuggery and violence and all of this kind of stuff. So we'll see how that plays out. We've seen a lot of Zaza in the past doing a lot of underhanded, dastardly things.
Look, there was a game that he played against the Spurs last year where he was thrown out of the game, I was like, he's going to hurt somebody out there.
Exactly.
I mean, he nearly hurt Aldridge. He came down on Kawhi's hand. He got an elbow in Patty Mills' grill. I mean, it was bad.
That's a powder keg right there.
Yeah.
Not to mention Draymond and his standard antics. Mark my words. Just watch it now. That if they struggle, you're going to see that powder keg blow pretty quickly too. I don't think I would feel as though it was just one game if I was a Warriors fan. I would be very concerned that they have some gaping holes that need to be filled if they want to go the route that they think they're going this year.
Well, they need to have some guys step up, or they're going to need to tweak that roster, because I couldn't agree with you more. I've got one more point about opening night, and then we can head into some superfluous poppycock if you've got some ready. You have anything else you want to say about the game?
You know, I don't. No, right. I'm just excited. I mean, I think we can safely assume that it is. I think we're all in this year now. All of our talk about potentially a rebuilding year, we might just be all in after beating the Warriors by 30 at home.
My final point on opening night is that what was a revelation to me was that Kawhi has stepped into his own with the fans, right, and the media. From the way that you back-to-back, you don't get back-to-back defensive players, player of the year, without the media being on your side.
Absolutely.
But now he's stepped into his own with the league's officials, and if it's not just a one-game thing, then this could be a monster year for the Spurs.
Yeah, absolutely. And likewise, a not-so-monstrous year for every other team in the Western Conference.
There you go. All right, my superfluous poppycock, are you ready for this?
I am ready for this.
Manu Ginobili had a interview with a television station, local television station in San Antonio. I think it was Channel 4, wherein he revealed that it's not just lip service, right? The man can honestly say that he gave his right one for the Spurs.
Really?
Yes,
he revealed this.
That's what he said. He laughed at it. It sounded like he could have backed away from the statement, And he was laughing. He was like, that's right. That's right. I gave my right one for the Spurs. How about that?
He lost an Alfajori in the name of the Spurs.
How about – and you know what? It was kind of one of those things that was rumored, tossed around last
rumor.
Year.
Nobody
was going to ask questions about it.
Yeah.
But when push came to shove, he was ready to talk about it in the off season. And so I guess we can call him Manu Solo, I guess.
Manu Solo is right. Well, for my superfluous poppycock, I would like to take us back to last week's poppycock, or last week's podcast, in which we centered a lot of talk around the rumors about LaMarcus Aldridge and the potential for change that may be coming upon the Spurs. And I would just like to maybe forego my superfluous poppycock, but personally thank Jackie McMullen for reaching out and apologizing
to the
San Antonio Spurs organization. And I say that, you know, the snarky, kind of underhanded, glasses in your face kind of attitude that I typically have towards life. I don't say that out of honor or out of respect towards her. I say that as a fan of an organization that is so classy and so respected that when something breaks in the media, or when it's a respected journalist that is responsible for something that is pure poppycock or balderdash, that journalist feels morally compelled to then reach out to that organization to personally apologize.
Man.
And I'm a fan of that organization because that's just freaking awesome.
I don't think I could have said that better myself. And on that note, I think we'll go ahead and end this episode. That'll do it for us tonight, Pounders. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep safe and let it fly.